Yeah. I'm not an IQ test since I started smoking weed, so who
knows? Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, for the third or fourth time now, we talk about convergence. We can't get enough, you can't get enough. Shut up, you love it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
That's the person over here. Because you can tell where we're sitting.
Yeah. And with our mono mic.
Yeah.
This week we're going to talk about convergence.
Oh, again, my God.
But not like the other three times we talked about convergence. This time we're going to talk about it in a past tense.
Yeah. Aren't you so excited, though, for a third convergence episode?
Hey, guys. Remember convergence and how much fun that was?
I totally really, really like convergence.
That's what this is all about.
It was a really good one. I just want to say, Nick and I got to stay in the hotel this year for the first time in like 8 years, and it was fucking amazing, and I will never go back. We actually busted our asses to volunteer enough hours, which is, I think it's 25 hours, in order to get like hopefully hotel preference as like one of the perks that goes to Uber
between
volunteers.
Between the two of us, we put in maybe like 50 some.
We did 50 altogether between the two of us. So that was considering a lot of the time, counting the panel meetings and other stuff, especially since, you know, if Nick was doing a panel that I wasn't getting credit for, I was still there.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So
pretty much.
It was a really good time, though. I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, it was a busy one for us. Tim, what was your con experience like?
It's always busy.
My con experience is crazy busy. I mean, to give you an example, the Friday I didn't have any panels before 12:30, so I had not.
On Thursday?
Friday. It was on Friday. I had specifically not scheduled myself for any volunteer shifts on Friday morning, so I had nothing to do before 12:30 p.m., and starting at 12:30 p.m., I was scheduled solid through until 12:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know,
that sounds like my Saturday,
That was panels and performances and stuff. And, you know, I like doing all that stuff, but it was super busy.
Do you find it hard? Because this was the first year I really experienced this. Is it hard when you're walking from one panel and you have half an hour to get to your next one, and you might want to, I don't know, eat or find something to drink or
stop
go to the bathroom,
talk to friends,
and you have people who know you.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily know them, or you know them, but like, man, like, now is not the time. Like, well, we haven't seen each other in a while. I know you want to catch up. And they're like, you know, hey, Tim, hey. And you have to do the whole, like, gotta go, run it. Like, seriously, like, gotta go.
You know, I think the half hour between panels, I don't know. I'm a fast walker, and I do shit fast. So to me, the 30 minutes between panels, which is something we came up with for Convergence that before we did it at Convergence, other conventions I went to didn't do it.
Yeah.
Which I think, I don't understand.
I love that, the half hour between panels.
I don't understand why anybody didn't ever think of it. To me, the half hour between panels is great, and it's perfect. I mean, it gives me, if I want to go over to the con suite and pick up a bowl of rice or have a slug of pop.
If you're about the task, it's just enough time to get
done. If you're a fast walker and you're on your own, I agree with that. If there's two of you and there's any kind of people clog, it becomes a little harder, you know.
If you're going to the Sofitel for a panel, maybe.
But I like the half hour.
You know, and the thing, this is kind of ironic, but when it comes to socializing with people, I always consider myself fairly awkward. When I'm sitting down to, I mean, you guys have hung out with me, and usually if I'm hanging out with a big group of people, I won't say a lot
for
a long time. I'll kind of gauge the room and listen to what they're talking about before I bother to actually insert my voice into the my dick into the conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, at Convergence, most of my conversations in the hallway are going to be, you know, hey, how you doing? And if I'm going to hang out with somebody that I know and like that I don't usually see, I'm going to try and make time for that.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, try and catch them for 10 minutes in between panels.
And I have that same experience. I also, you know, weirdly enough, am awkward and feel weird in social situations, but I tend to do the opposite and just jump in and make myself start talking, because otherwise I won't want to talk to anybody at all, and I'll just want to leave. So at least if I can get myself into the conversation. But so what's hard is we'd be walking through the halls and people would be like, you know, oh Molly, Nick, oh God, hey you guys, we saw you. I was like, hey, when are you gonna be? And it's like, I'm already like it's I gotta go, and I just talked for an hour on a panel. And the last thing I want to do right now is talk to you. And I don't know how to say that to somebody without being rude.
There's no polite way.
There's no polite way. Okay, good.
Not really, no.
Okay, that's too bad.
Well, I mean, that's I disagree. I respectfully disagree.
Unless you're like, oh, I need to save my voice.
I wish I could have a light on my head that was like a light that over my head that I could turn on for like, yes, it's okay, you can talk to me, and turn off for leave me alone, I'm not in a mood to talk to people.
Yeah.
Like, that would be nice. Or like if I had a tail that indicated things.
A tail?
Or, I don't know, something.
Okay. Twilight tentacles on. If like somebody's like, hey Tim, how you doing? And I'll be like, oh, I'm great. I'm sorry I'm late for a panel.
That's what you're doing,
you know,
right.
And I feel like that's pretty polite. I mean, sure. I'm not lying. I'm not giving a bullshit answer.
Just that's different than what Molly was saying, which is I don't want to talk to you right now.
But it's also that I'm late for a panel. Some people will just, I don't know. It was hard. People were just following us sometimes, not anyone that we know that is friends, but sometimes we had people that were following us because they just saw a panel we were on and they decided they were going to talk to us the whole way to our next panel.
Yeah.
And so I think it just kind of comes with the territory.
Molly and I were on a panel for geek relationship advice.
I was on a different panel opposite that. How'd that go?
Well, most of the panel ended up being advice for like getting into a relationship or finding
people.
A relationship or dating,
which is unfortunate because none of us on the panel seemed all that good at it. Like we all just kind of lucked into ours.
I think me and the woman at the opposite end whose name escapes me at the moment,
the one who met her husband at the FurCon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. So we're like the only two that were like, you know, like active daters before being married,
she'd done a lot of social media type dating, like dating sites, and Nick just fucked a lot of girls. blushing.
But we had a lot of people come up to us afterwards to talk and chat, and I mean we were kind of held captive by the audience until about the next panel was like kind of shuffling us out.
Yeah.
Like it was.
Yeah,
although it
was great. They were really nice guys and they were super gracious. But
yeah, that was a fun one. What was Tim? What was your favorite panel you did?
My favorite panel was a panel called "Judging a Book by Its Cover," which was a new panel that Melissa Karasher and Jerry Bellish came up with. It's kind of for anybody who's seen PowerPoint Karaoke, which is a fucking awesome thing, and everybody should see it. where it's kind of the same thing. Melissa found the craziest ass book covers that you can possibly imagine. Just nuts.
Sure.
And then she erased the title from the book cover. She put the book cover up on the screen, and then two people had to improvise what the story was.
Is the title like black barred out, or did she actually manage to remove it Photoshop
style? She Photoshopped the title completely out. There were only a couple where she had to do a black bar. She couldn't Photoshop it out.
I don't understand. Those talents are so outside my skill set.
Terrible at that stuff, and she's
amazing.
She's very talented. And she's good at wacky picture finding. Yeah.
Melissa asked me to MC it at the last minute, so I wasn't one of the improvisers. It was Chris Buchholz and Wendy Bowlesby and Jerry Bellish and Don Krasnowski.
It's a good group.
Yeah, it was a good group. And I'll tell you what, Don Krasnowski, who does the voice of Connie at the convention, well-known actress in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't know is how good she is at comedy and improv.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen her play Just a Minute.
She's also a super nerd, which is really, like, she, it's her, we played DS together with Animal Crossing. Her DS name is Jabba. And, like, she, it's super funny.
She doesn't look like a super nerd.
No.
She looks like a supermodel. But she's just a great actress, super, super funny, and you know, everybody on that panel was good, but Don and Jerry were a team, and
Jerry's an improv machine.
They just kicked ass, and but the whole thing was hilarious, and we're actually going to do it as part of a Ville show. Coming up later this month, because actually I think this week we're going to be doing it as part of a Ville show.
It is this week. I believe Nick and I both be able to participate in this judging a book by its cover?
I think there's a decent chance you will be able to participate.
That's awesome. High five, Jim Blower. Come out and watch us.
That panel is actually available online. I'll link to the video.
You mentioned Don. The three of us were in opening ceremonies with Don. That's the first time I've ever been to opening ceremonies in the 12 or 13 years or whatever it is I've been going to Convergence, the first time I've ever gone to opening ceremonies.
Same here.
Was...
To be in it.
To be in it.
Yeah.
It was super... It was really fun and a really great honor, so thank you for that. That
it was... Oh. It was a blast. I feel like I could have done better. But, like, the audience was amazing and people were commenting the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a lot of fun.
Saying so how funny it was.
So Nick was the Leonard Nimoy puppet, and I was the pink monster puppet, and Tim was the purple monster puppet, and Don was the Connie puppet.
Yeah. Which is super cool.
And the whole thing came from me deciding last year that we needed to do a puppet sketch so I could get Gordon Smooter, who's a friend of ours, who's also an atheist, and we should totally have him on our show someday.
Yeah.
Get him to make a Connie puppet.
Yeah.
Connie's the mascot of Convergence.
It was great. It was well received, and I think that much like any scripted work ever, anything that didn't get done or said from the script, the audience didn't notice because they didn't know it was supposed to happen.
Right,
and it went really well.
There was only one laugh line that got dropped that I was just there's like if you're a writer, there's always a line or two that's like your pet favorite line that's like, I don't care if anybody laughs at this line, it's funny to me. And one of those lines got dropped.
Was it the Mary Poppins?
Yeah, it was the Mary Poppins line.
That was I was sad it got jumped, but not that sad at the same time.
Yeah.
You what about you, Molly? Favorite panel? On or attended? I don't whichever.
Honestly, I really think that my favorite one that I was on was the conspiracy one that we were all on with Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. I love that panel.
It was
a lot of fun to do.
So fun, even though Jeremy, it's super funny. So if you're at the panel, you may have noticed that after like the first four things Jeremy said, I turned to him and said that he was really bad at improv. And that's because we would say something and Jeremy's first thing would be like, no, I didn't think that that was how. And I found
out, what the fuck?
I found out later he was trying to play the dumb guy. He was trying to play a character.
I think he's a little too close to that role.
So your character is bad at improv. But I want to do that again next year with Nick has some good ideas for that we were
we've been batting around. Yeah, I had a few ideas to do it again next year with a different topic.
So I think it would be, but that one was a lot of fun. That was a packed room and one of the big, it was atrium 6, right? That was one of the,
atrium 4.
It was one of the big rooms.
Yeah.
And then
packed the whole time.
Yeah.
People came and left. And
the runner up to that, I just want to say, cause it was in that same room was, considering it was that Thursday at 2 PM when a lot of people were in a 4-hour line. We packed atrium 4 for the Asperger's panel.
Sheldon Asperger's and
it was really great. And my fellow panelists, there were four of us, and three of us have Asperger's, and then one of us, her son has Asperger's, and he was there.
Yeah.
So, like, at one point she was like, well, he's right over there. Do you mind? And he was just like, hi.
He was like 20, right?
He was like 20, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of awkward teen stuff.
But that was a really good panel because that's the one that we had a lot of people afterward coming up and saying, it was really nice to see, you know, at that panel, and it was nice to see people there and who are, you know, high functioning and you know, because there's a lot of people who said like, oh, my kid just got diagnosed, you know, my friend's son, you know, things like that. And so it's good to know that it's not, I don't know, a death sentence of the way they were talking about it. Like, you know,
it's good to know that you can live a happy life and it's not going to get in the way of that necessarily.
Absolutely.
Between your... Because I was in the audience for that panel.
Yeah.
Between that panel and the Geek Relationship Advice panel, I had a lot of people telling me how good a husband I was this weekend, which was really weird. But it was just weird to hear from complete and total strangers that they're commenting on the quality of our...
I feel like there were a lot of people that were like, oh, now I get it. She's fucked up crazy.
Yeah.
The conspiracy one, I loved that just because I think conspiracy theories are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But fun at the same time.
Yeah, and so that was fun. I especially had fun when the audience started asking questions.
I agree. And I liked the way we set it up. I think that's a good way to do it again.
There's like a 7-year-old kid asking us questions.
Oh my God, that was so great.
That little kid that raised his hand, and we were all like, oh, this is going to be something, you know, little kiddish.
Yeah.
And he's like, can you talk about the connection between the great earthquake in 1906 in San Francisco and the
misalignment,
the
of,
misalignment
Pluto's
of Pluto's orbit. And it was like, yeah, because that's totally related. That was just beautiful.
That was fun. My favorite point was when I managed to actually connect Walt Disney with Monsanto.
Yeah, that was good.
The planting Walt Disney's frozen heads and growing an army of Walt Disney's. I don't know.
It made
sense to me.
The thing that sucks is
there was no video camera in the room.
Yeah.
I know. It's all right.
Well,
it was
a trial run, and now we know if we do anything in that format in the future, we can...
Yeah.
It was a good trial run.
What about you? What about you? What was your favorite?
Oh, Conspiracy was my favorite to
be on. Ah, Steel Thunder. But
that's okay. That's my favorite to be on. Just because, I don't know, one of my favorite things about being on panels or performing in Ville or opening ceremonies or any of that at Convergence is you're already having this amazing weekend, and for the rest of the weekend, people are, like, passing you and they'll be like, oh, man, you were really funny at Ville, or that Conspiracy panel was really cool. Like, it's so validating, and it's so fulfilling.
I think that's why when I was talking about, like, when people come up, come to you in the minutes you have between, that's kind of more what I was getting at. Like, how do you graciously thank someone who's you don't know them, and they're, like, being a fan and saying, like, that was really fun, and I have a few points that I wanted to say that I didn't get to say without being like, sorry, kid, gotta go. Like, call my publicist. It just felt so douchey to be I gotta move on. I think I'm so good for you.
The way Tim said it sounds like a perfectly good bow.
Yeah, it's like, I'd love to talk more. I'm sorry, I've gotta go. That's what I do.
Did you see any costumes? I know you don't really do costumes, Tim, but were there any costumes that you saw that particularly stuck out or were...
You know what? There are the cosplay at Convergence is so pervasive.
I love it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's amazing that... I honestly couldn't tell you. I can't single one out in my head because I saw so much stuff that I'm like, oh my God, that's fantastic. That it all just kind of smashes
together.
Did
you see Human Centipede?
No, I didn't.
There was a guy who had two blow up dolls inflated that were the last blow up doll was attached to the butt of the second blow up doll.
So he was just trailing him.
And the second blow up doll was sewn to hit the butt of his like cloth diaper.
Oh my God.
And they had like the head wrap thing, and so he just crawled through cabana area. He just crawled through on his hands and knees, and people were like either taking pictures and laughing really hard or like super butthurt.
Angry because, what about the children? Won't somebody think of the children?
Oh, please, he's covered.
Oh, come on.
Well, not only that, why does your kid know what Human Centipede is? More to the point, your kid should be like, what's that? And be like, I don't know, it must be from some anime.
Yeah, that's what I say.
It must be from some anime.
It must be from some anime.
That covers it all.
I heard there was this really good Lara Croft costume.
There it is. I don't know, I didn't see a Lara Croft, I did see some Katniss.
Ah, fuck you.
There was also there were like 5 billion TARDIS dresses, which actually, I'm not complaining. I thought they were really cool.
Yeah,
the way a lot of really nice work that people did it, trying to come up with ways to tie into the Doctor Who 50th anniversary.
The British invasion theme, as well. So it's the Los Dos.
You had two costumes that both fit the theme.
I did Lara Croft, who is British, and then I did a new Tomb Raider Lara Croft, not Tits McGee, the Improbable Explorer, and then I did
too top heavy to do anything acrobatic.
I know. And then I did Jenny Sparks from The Authority, which is a Warren Ellis comic.
Yeah,
that's really good, and she is British and ballsy.
Yeah,
and she's in MI6. No, it's like a special thing that's kind of like
some other
MI6.
Stormwatch or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You did costumes.
Yeah, I did. Professor Pig, which I wasn't. It's a Batman villain that I wasn't expecting anyone to get, and I actually had some people come up to me and be like, "Hey, man! Oh, Professor Pig, can I get a picture with you?" And like,
there were almost 7,000 people at that con. Somebody was going to get Professor Pig.
Yeah, well,
it was good.
The Mason Savoy costume from the comic Chew.
That was really good.
Like people got it in retrospect, or once I told them what it was, despite how. Not to, like, toot my own horn, but the costume was really, really good.
It was fucking
perfect. And I had to wrestle with my eye to get a contact lens in for a half hour. Like, just took a while.
But you did it.
But I did it. And, but then I performed in Ville in my Monstroso costume from Venture Brothers, which was awesome. Megan, friend of the show, Megan Culverhouse from the Ridiculous Puppet Company, made me a Monstroso hood. It's like an Anton LaVey devil hood with the horns.
Yeah.
And she made it out of a red wicking fabric. that's actually like used for athletic wear, so it was nice and breezy activewear conversions.
Yeah. If you are looking for costume pieces made for, you know, for real, contact the Ridiculous Puppet Company because they did amazing stuff. If you need like puppety kind of things, talk to them because their prices are really reasonable. She didn't charge much at all. It was like, it was a good, for the quality of what you got.
Yeah.
It was the prices are good. So I recommend them highly.
She's quite hesitant to do, she hates hats.
Yeah, they don't really do a lot of costuming, if you need something puppety or prop, maybe, like something like that would be good. For sure. I also, your Monstroso was great because you had the size for it.
Yeah.
So that was always, you know, not a lot of people could pull that off. It was
fun to do Vil in that.
Yeah.
That was a good one for that. Did you run into any, like, negative nerd stereotypes or examples?
No.
Not to like complain about conversions. I mean,
you know, the biggest negative from the entire weekend, you know, anybody who was there was the registration line on Thursday, which was fucking insane. It was a 4-hour line, you know, and it sucks. But the nice thing is that, you know, I don't think people carry that negative shit through the rest of the weekend.
If they did, they were going to find something to be negative about anyway.
That's you know, true. It's not like anybody. It's not like anybody felt good about it. It wasn't like people were like, ha-ha, 4-hour line. Everybody was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were people running around trying to solve that problem.
They
They're going to be hours and hours and hours of meetings to try and solve that problem.
They brought in new terminals. People were bringing water and food.
They did an express line.
Yeah, if you had a panel or accessibility issue or anything like that.
Yeah.
They had Vilten go entertain the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most awkward stuff I experience is just people, you know, I do a lot of stuff at Convergence, and so a lot of people come up and talk to me like I know them, and I have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Tim, how you doing? I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Who are you?
There was a panel that you were on that I really wanted to see, and that was You're Making That Up, which... Right? Is that?
Yes.
We saw that show at the BLB.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And I wanted, like, did that go
was
well?
Was that the one Neil
like,
Gaiman?
Wanted to be.
Yeah. I am not particularly proud of how I performed at that show.
What did you do?
Again, no, I just, you know, I didn't feel like I was very funny.
Oh.
You know, there are times where you're like, I don't know, I felt I was really funny on the conspiracy panel.
I had that with Obsessed. I didn't feel like I was that funny on Obsessed. I know what you mean.
But I did also, I was paired with Tim Uren, and we were up against Sharon Steitler and Paul Cornell. And I got to say, in any kind of comedy situation, the last person you want to be on stage with is Sharon Steitler, because she's funnier than you are.
Yeah.
As a general rule, Sharon Steitler is funnier than you are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I already felt, you know, kind of like, well, shit, I'm not going to be as funny as Sharon. But there was one point where I actually kind of decided to throw the whole game.
Oh.
Because we got asked, and they send you all this stuff ahead of time, which is really cool. It's like, it's yes, there's improv to it, but they also want you to know what the questions are going to be.
Yeah.
So you can hopefully come up, you know, construct some answers. But one of the things that they had was, talk about product placement in some well-known films.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be making up product placement. And I'd come up with an answer for a couple of them, but one of them was Serenity. And none of us, for whatever reason, none of us had come up with an answer to Serenity. So there's this long, very awkward silence.
Oh, no.
We're all looking at each other like, who's gonna say something?
Yeah.
And something pops into my head. And when it popped into my head, I immediately was like, if I say this out loud, the audience will never love me again.
Oh no.
Because,
what did you say?
Well, it's Convergence. It's a convention of nerds, right? So it's Serenity.
And they love Firefly at Convergence.
Yeah, they do love Firefly. So I just said, well, all right. Here we go. The product placement is Serenity, and Serenity is tied because it does the wash. And the audience is like, oh, boo! And
that's great.
That was it. That was fun.
Wow, that's great. Did you see the poster that Molly made for you for Vil?
Yes.
Wanted poster?
Yeah. So the crime you were accused of was...
Hating Firefly. Which is perfect for that, then.
Yeah.
Like that. So people probably got out of that panel and saw that poster and were like, that guy!
And nobody tried to... Your poster said, try and convince him.
Yeah.
To like...
No
nobody
did.
A few people were like, so I hear you don't like Firefly. I'm like, nope.
And no one tried?
I'm just like, come on, bring it.
Straight.
Bring it. It's totally a lie. I like
you guys
Firefly,
let me down. Yeah, I know you do. Of course you do. You're human
one,
being.
One thing that I spent like a lot of time on in between like downtime and stuff at Convergence was, so we have these new 3DSs. We've been playing Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. So when you walk by someone else with a 3DS and you're closed, you street pass. You exchange little data. And so there's all these
your
games.
Your guy goes to them, their guy comes
to
them.
Yeah, there's all these games where you play a game and all these other people at Convergence are there in your game. And like, exchanging puzzle pieces and stuff like that.
Yeah, fighting demons and just seeing people from different places.
Yeah,
you
incredible.
Got a lot of different states. And
incredible progress was made in all those minigames.
It was really fun.
Convergence.
In fact, it was so much progress that when we got home and it wasn't happening anymore, I was just like, fuck this. I don't even see what the point of this is. We can't even get 30 people a day. But before, I was like, I got three people today. Like, it was a big...
Who am I going to street pass? My fucking wife?
Yeah. Street pass that bitch so many times already.
Boring.
So yeah, it was good.
What was, so if you had to pick like one like high point, one magic moment, one special thing.
I'm gonna say, all right, so on stage for Ville, during match game, it was Chris Jones and Cargill were our contestants.
Yeah.
And We were playing match game, and the matching thing was like something about, it was Joss Whedon, something that you wrote, it was something about Joss Whedon killing off a character.
Yeah.
Or
Joss Whedon's going to make a new show about science fiction conventions.
And the first person
I'm going to kill off is blank.
And I said, I wrote down, the dude that doesn't shower, or the only dude who showers.
Yeah.
And then in parentheses, I was like, "Oh, this will be funny." I put wash because I've been putting things in parentheses the whole time as asides. So I'm like, the only guy who showers, wash. And then Chris Jones said wash, and I turned to Pat, and I'm like, like, I dropped my ball. Like, I was so excited that it actually matched, and it was not even like a liar match. Or like,
yeah,
we'll give them to you
match.
Oh,
yeah.
It was so great! It was so great.
I had a quality moment in that. That was that my favorite answer was James Bond wanted Q to make him something that explodes.
Yeah.
I had said morning after pill.
Yeah.
And, Cargill came over and was like, "Yeah, gotta shake your hand." Yeah. What was your magical moment of convergence?
You know, for me, I love doing Ville, but my favorite show to do at Convergence is the drag show.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's like Ville, it's a rock star show, but
yeah. This
year we had, I think about 75% of the music we did was brand new. At least we've learned it since January. So some of it we did at our April show. One of the songs that I wrote for Big Fun Radio Fun Time that I taught to the band was Satan Planet Dinosaur Bones.
I love that song.
Jeffrey and I are going to record it because I want to put that out there.
Yeah.
I want to make a video because
people
who think Satan Planet Dinosaur Bones are stupid, and I want them to know that. But
I very much want to see someone dressed up as Satan with a shovel, like sneaking like this. Like if you could film at the brickyards where the fossils are, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were going to do that song. And I was super excited because our my friend Finn from Ireland, who's going to be on this podcast in a few weeks, was in the audience, and she's a skeptic. And I was like, oh, she's going to like this song. And the really cool thing is Trevor from Four Pint Shy, another band, was at the convention. This was his first time at the con.
Oh.
He decided to go because he's a big Star Wars nerd, and he's got like this super, super hyper accurate Tusken Raider costume that he wears.
I saw him.
And he decided that he wanted to play along with us on a song. So for this song, he comes up in full Tusken Raider gear, and he plays the fiddle.
That's amazing on that
song, which sounded amazing. And here's the other thing that will just freak you out. There is a video, which I will also link to. There's going to be so many videos on this fucking episode. But there's a video of that song. And if you watch it, you will see and listen to the violin. Listen to how he fiddles. He had gloves on.
And he didn't
take them off.
Oh, my God.
Because he couldn't. And it sounds perfect.
That's crazy.
But it was just cool. I mean, it was this great moment of having a friend come up on stage, perform with us. The audience went apeshit for it. Being able to sing it for somebody who I knew would really appreciate it.
And it's a song you wrote that's really funny all of that. That's all great.
Yeah, we also did, at that same one, we did Pets Are Temporary Companions, which we also wrote for Big Fun Radio. And I think is probably one of the funniest songs I've ever written, and it just got a super huge funny. Reaction. So that's my super
cool. Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, those are good moments. All right. That was.
I feel
so conned out.
Yeah. If I had to pick a moment for me.
Yeah.
A shining thing that happened. It was actually like after con, but a comment on it. One of the guests of honor, John Picasso, I think.
Yeah.
As a like science fiction and fantasy cover artist.
Yeah, he does cover art for George R. R. Martin. I believe he's done the cover art on all the Game of Thrones.
So he commented on the Convergence Facebook page about the Ville show at Convergence and said, oh, that the dude in the big guy in like the devil hood had this like heel professional wrestler like bad guy thing going on, and like I thought he stole the show or whatever, and someone was like, hey, that was Nick Glover, and so I saw the whole thread, and it was I was like, oh, like blushing through the internet, like it was so flattering, and and
He said, Glover, you nailed it. Like,
He
was a super nice guy, John Picasso. Yeah. I talked to him after the con, and I really didn't talk to him at all. He loved Ville.
That's fantastic.
And every time he saw me, he was like, you are so awesome.
That's great.
And I mean, literally, this is a guest of honor. This dude, I mean, he knows George R. R. Martin is on the guy's fucking speed dial.
Right.
And he's like, are you on Facebook? And I'm like, yes. He's like, I'm going to friend you on Facebook.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
So, that was really cool.
So I think we have 5 questions from a listener.
Yes, we do. We have 5 questions from Robin R. It is bless you.
Yeah.
bless you.
Oh, I get it. It's Robin Ryanimi.
Yeah.
And I have Robin's questions. I'll be Robin if you want to ask me. Right.
So... what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Latitude Zero, which is a berserk Japanese sci-fi film starring Cesar Romero and Joseph Cotten.
Holy shit.
Cotten plays a submarine commander who finds an underwater paradise, which is threatened by Cesar Romero, who at one point takes out the brain of his right-hand woman, transplants it into a lion, grafts wings onto the lion, and then uses a super science-y ray to grow her to being 100 feet tall.
Oh my god.
She reacts negatively to these changes. What a wuss.
How is it that I've never seen this movie?
I don't know. That's a crazy movie. Zero.
Yeah. Latitude Zero. All right. Sounds like a great movie to pair with Pacific Rim.
Yeah
right?
Yes. Oh, question number 2. I get to ask question number 2, which, if I talk long enough, what's your favorite atheist character?
Jodie Foster in Contact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. What more do you need?
One more, enough said.
It's written by Sagan, right? It's based on a novel written by... Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So, question number 3. What is your geekiest hobby?
I collect film score CDs. I have over 1,000.
Holy shit.
Many of them are for movies I hate, but they have terrific music in them. Huh. Like Jerry Goldsmith's score for Congo or Supergirl, Bill Conti's score for Masters of the Universe, or David Arnold's score for the American Godzilla. There are also composers I follow, like Leonard Rosenman and Alex North. Also, I save about 95% of the ticket stubs for the movies I see. When I have both a ticket stub and a score CD, I crack open the jewel box and tuck the stub into it.
Sure.
Thusly, I know that I saw Disney's The Beauty and the Beast at the Harmar Mall Theater on February 15th, 1992 at 4:45 p.m. Or Alien vs. Predator at the Willow Creek Theater on August 14th, 2004. Or as my future husband would say, not only are you a geek, you're an anal retentive geek.
Wow.
That is pretty amazing.
I'm amazed.
That makes me jealous, and like I wish that I had done that, because that's the kind of thing that I would love to do.
I used to save my tickets up for everything.
Yeah, but not like in this way
I had a scrapbook.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying I'm amazed that anybody saw Alien vs. Predator in a theater. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, I thought it was a direct to...
All right, question number 4. What is your favorite sandwich?
The Jimmy John's JJ BLT. Add cucumbers, onions, and oregano. It's even better with extra bacon. But then, what isn't make better with the 2 words, extra bacon? Nick's digestive tract.
Yeah.
My Saturday night.
Just add turkey bacon.
Yeah.
There we go. Bacon. Yeah, extra turkey bacon.
Sure.
There you go. Problem solved.
My thing with Jimmy John's right now is adding avocado. Any Jimmy John's sandwich I add, because they've got an avocado spread that's just awesome.
See, ever since they got rid of Sprouts, I've just been disappointed.
They got rid of Sprouts, and their avocado is really more like guacamole.
No,
like,
it's not. You're thinking Emilio's. Emilio's is guacamole. Oh, Jimmy John's is straight avocado.
It's straight avocado spread. It's just not like pieces of avocado.
It's just mashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I kind of like it unmashed. I like slices for sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Also, I hate to disagree with her questions, but her answers, but I feel like the only reason anyone would ever eat at Jimmy John's is out of convenience because they deliver, like...
Sure.
I don't know.
I like Jimmy John's bread a lot. I'm a big fan of their bread. I like it better than Subway's bread, for sure.
Sure.
I may have mentioned this on the podcast before. The only thing that pisses me off about their bread is I like wheat bread, and they don't do wheat bread rolls. They only do white bread rolls. Wheat bread, you get, like, sliced bread.
That's true. Fuck sliced bread.
It's thick, delicious sliced, but still.
Still.
So the last question is, what is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
That it's a license to do whatever the heck I want to do. I'm assuming she meant the heck I want to do. Yeah. Or he. I don't know. Robin. Which is exactly
since
wrong.
You're saying you're a future husband, but August 1st, we don't know for sure. Right. We're guessing you're a girl. All right.
Back to Robin's answer. That it's a license to do whatever the hell I want to do, which is exactly wrong. Atheism makes me more responsible because I know I will have to deal with the consequences of my actions and all by myself. It's religion that gives you the license to do whatever you want. Blow up an abortion clinic? Just convince yourself God wants you to do it, and your conscience can be clean. Try to amend the Minnesota Constitution to enshrine anti-gay bigotry into it? Hey, if the Old Testament God thought boys kissing was horrid, that's good enough for you.
Right.
Thanks a lot, and I love the podcast.
Aw.
Aw, that's sweet.
Thanks for your answers, Robin.
Yeah, thanks, Robin.
Yeah.
That was really great.
If you're with Minnesota Atheists, and we happen to, if you happen to be going to the St. Paul Saints Night of Unbelievable Fun, say hi to us. Come introduce yourself.
Yeah, come say hi.
You guys are going to be there
We're definitely going. We bought three tickets, so if you can come.
I think I might have a show then.
That's fine. We'll bring someone else.
I know you will. You'll bring somebody. You'll bring somebody way cooler than me.
Whoever it is, if we don't bring Tim and you see Molly and I with someone else at the game, introduce yourself to our new co-host that we're replacing.
Tim.
Good Tim.
What if we just bring Timmy?
I'm going to call him GT for good Tim.
GT, good Tim. You can't call him Tim. That's my name.
Fuck you guys.
Awesome.
We're going to bring the dog.
Oh my God, I would still bring the dog. The dog's an atheist.
So that's like the last Convergence episode we're going to do for 11 months. So anybody who's sick of them, we're done.
We're sorry. That's the end of them. We're sorry.
Fuck that Convergence shit, man.
If you have a particular favorite Convergence moment you want to share with us, comment on geekswithoutgod.com or on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And don't forget to like us there and follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 What do we want? Day passes. When do we want them? Fuck you.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Bye. Bye.
Now we're just getting punchy.